You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Patriot Power Hour is live. It's February 1st, 2022. Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, here with Future Dan. How you doing there?
Yeah, ready for another show, Ben. Glad to be back. Took a week off, but you did a nice little piece, or two, actually, for Prepper Broadcasting Network. Tell us about them.
Yeah, last week, today, episode 170. Episode 169 was a couple weeks ago, so last week was not a numbered episode, but it is in the archive. I kind of called it the Finance Special, and it just so happened to be, and I know that debt is always growing, but last week I was like, we are right on that $30 trillion national debt figure.
We've broken it.
Pretty much between that show and now. So I talked a lot about the debt, a lot about interest rates, a lot about what is you as a prepper, and what have you, as you as a citizen, and as a father, mother, brother, maybe even a caregiver to older people, what you could do to try to protect yourself and others as this financial credit bubble, the black hole of debt, is about to explode.
Yeah, we've got the volatility in the stock market up. We have at least the S&P seeing its worst month since March of 2020 last month. So what did the Fed come out and say, Ben? I think you spoke last week, the night before the Honorable Jerome Powell made announcements. But what is this central banking Politburo in the United States going to do to us?
Yeah, they're looking as if they're going to try to raise interest rates a few times this year, probably starting in March. And as I noted on last Tuesday night, the following day, Jerome Powell would come out and give some of that good old Fed speak, a lot of it blathering and boring, but essentially the key part stating, yes, we are going to raise interest rate to combat inflation. We've been talking a lot about inflation on this show and on this network. So now the Fed is acknowledging that and trying to raise interest rates. The problem is the debt is magnificently high, like just unbelievably high. And raising interest rate means, guess what? You got to pay more interest. We can't even pay our bills now, but now the interest rate on the national debt and all this other debt is going to go up. You think we're going to be able to pay that? No way. So that's what we're looking at. But the inflation is getting crazy. So the Fed is really stuck in between a rock and a hard place. And I expected this to happen 5-6 years ago, but I guess it's finally taking place.
So if this sort of thing zooms right past you, and it did in 2008, and you weren't paying attention in March of 2020, what kind of news tonight are you looking at that because you choose deliberately not to understand the dire situation of our finances? I think the answer is Ukraine.
For sure. We've seen, luckily enough, no shots fired in the last couple weeks since we've been on air, but we're seeing escalations in rhetoric as well as actual troop movement and placement. You have some more details here, and we will definitely go through a lot of it on the news blitz in the second quarter of the show, as we always do. But are you officially more concerned about Ukraine than Taiwan? Because we used to talk a lot about China and Taiwan, haven't heard too much about it. Not saying it's fully de-escalated by any means, but now Ukraine's all over the place. What are you thinking?
I don't know if I can point in one column of Future Danger or another, or one indicator set of headlines indicative of a threat and say, this one's coming faster than that one. It's simultaneous, Ben, right? And Ukraine constitutes a crisis right now, but is it cover for a financial crisis that's, burgeoning?
For sure. And I've been one to say that, I've said this for many years, pretty much since I started podcasting, that the banksters took way too much bad press and too much blame and 2008, and then the next time around, they're going to do everything they can to either blame it on something like a pandemic or on a cyber attack or on a war, or all those different things combined. So I think you might be onto something there.
Yeah. What about the timing with elections, though? That's what's also interesting. When I began to realize that there's spaces in time between every 2 years for Congress and every 4 years for the presidency where, you know, forces can, you know, powers that be can attempt to maneuver some of these crises, right? And partly we all know deep down inside, you know, once a war in Eastern Europe starts, no one is really in control of that, right? It's a war. When a financial crisis starts happening, there's no one truly in control of that. There's parties that helped instigate it who will probably survive better than most in the immediate aftermath of these crises, but no one's truly in control of them, right? So when does one of these things slip into not under control by any sovereign nation, any member of government, or any behind the scenes nefarious billionaire types? I don't care where you think the power source is. When does one of these things slip into a zone where, you know, the dice are rolling now?
Yeah.
They're going to land somehow, and no one quite knows how.
I think that's why you had to have a very broad look at the news and current events if you're a prepper, because if any of these events really go SHTF, then others will follow. I think it's a domino. It doesn't matter if it's Ukraine first or Taiwan first or financial crisis first or massive cyber terrorist attack. I think if almost any of those take place, the other three will follow shortly. Certainly not trying to be doom porn here, but you got to be looking at almost all these different types of scenarios because they are all interrelated, and I feel like they're getting kind of all coming as a confluence together. So you got to be ready to execute your plans as a prepper and have that situational awareness. That's what we try to do here on Patriot Power Hour, right?
Yeah, and so many people's circumstances are different. It's such a vast set of circumstances that people might be prepping under. And looking at the news and, you know, reading the tea leaves and anticipating what impacts you locally from what's happening, you know, around the world and generally in this country. That's the purpose of the site. It's also the main theme of our show. So in second segment, as always, we're going to hit all the headlines. But that's kind of the where we're at right now. We got the Ukraine issue, and we got, you know, a very disturbed Wall Street with a Fed that's indicating it's going to raise rates. And how long do they attempt to do that, Ben? One, two, you want to make a call? Two quarter percentage point increases to the Federal Reserve's rate before they have to quit and back down?
I believe I made a call, and this is where I need to do better at marking my calls on podcast. Okay. And anyone's dedicated out there wants to go back a few episodes.
Double check you.
Pretty sure it was in 2022, but one of the first episodes of the year, I think. And I said they will raise at most 1%, which would be 100 basis points.
In four quarter point.
Maybe like a half and then a quarter and a quarter.
Now, Wall Street's going to have a tantrum each time.
Well, I feel like they're already baking. They're kind of having that tantrum now. They bake it in. But I've also said that they could raise it 1%. And then let's say they hold it there for a few months. So over a 1 year period, they raise rates 1%. Wall Street would have a temper tantrum, but it wouldn't collapse everything. Because 1% is still very minuscule compared to what they could and should be doing to combat inflation. They're not going to go more than 1%, though, because that would really start doing damage. That's my prediction. And they're going to have to reverse course after no more than 18 months. Even, I think, more like 1 year. So like 1 year from today, they'll probably be backing off, if not earlier.
So all these companies that make things that savers taking advantage of an interest rate, like theoretically, take advantage of, not only individual savers, but you know, other entities, corporations. For how long do those companies' stocks stay at these elevated prices? Mm-hmm. Are there not stocks and companies making things that have to, you know, what's the opposite of inflation? Well, flattening of inflation with, you know, manageable levels of inflation. And then ultimately, if it goes too far, deflation, a lowering of prices. No one's talking about deflation in this environment, right? But if the machinery of central banking even works anymore, and they were to raise rates, and let's say there was no negative effect of that, like to, you know, the cost of our sovereign debt at $30 trillion, can that method even work anymore?
No, I feel like we've already passed the event horizon on the black hole of debt. It's literally never mathematically possible to pay this stuff back.
Set aside the debt for a moment.
Right.
Could they even use higher interest rates to
crash lower, it on purpose?
To lower inflation.
It may not even work at this point because inflation's even more than just all the cheap money they've poured in, which a lot of it is, but it's the labor pool being decimated by people being either quitting out and getting on the welfare state. That's a good portion of it. Or a lot of people becoming older, just a natural demographic, but also debilitated by a poor diet, diabetes, and vaccines, and COVID, long COVID, all of this just crushing the labor pool, meaning the supply chain, which is going to lead to inflation no matter what. So the inflation is already pretty much out of the control. I already think it's at, you know, they're admitting 5, 6, 8%, depending on different metrics, but I've said it's at least 10%.
They say very clearly, I think Powell said this last week, that side of the equation, that, you know, the supply side is out of their control. It's the demand side, right?
So right. And they can't lowering control
demand,
that.
Lowering demand for goods because you have better things to do with your money, like save it in a savings account with an interest rate. 1% interest rate? Yeah. You know, inflation's at 7%. You're losing the value of any money you hold anyways.
In the end, they're impotent, the Fed, at this point. All they can do is print money and lower to maybe negative range at most. This is a bluff trying to extend the game just a little longer. That's my overall interpretation.
Yeah. You go to CNBC or, you know, Wall Street Journal or any other, you know, conventional financial media outfit, how many times does the word Fed appear on their website?
Yeah. Exactly.
It's centrally controlled. It's Soviet-esque.
Right. And trust me, I'm very biased. I love talking about banking, and we'll talk about a lot of other topics on the other side of the next break here. But everything's wrapped up into the economy. And at this point, the economy is totally wrapped up into debt and the credit market, which is controlled by the Fed. So that's why we end up talking about it all the time on Patriot Power Hour. Also, real quick, before the music ends, if you're a member, go check out the members-only review of cryptocurrency I did. Members-only, the continuity, purplebroadcasting.com. That was really fun. We'll be back, guys, with the News Blitz, Patriot Power Hour.
Here at the Prepper Broadcasting Network, our mission has expanded, and we have decided to use our influence to aid in disaster recovery. PBN is offering up our airwaves to nonprofits and boots-on-the-ground organizations that are affecting disaster recovery. The real people out there rebuilding lives. From organizations that reestablish the supply chain to those who deliver aid and even organizations that rebuild shattered homes and lives. The future of disaster response does not lay in the hands of some government organizations. No, it's up to us, Disaster Coffee. It only makes sense that PBN would partner with Disaster Coffee. Disaster Coffee is selling outstanding coffee that is roasted to order and shipped right to your door. A portion of their profits will be directly donated to disaster recovery organizations like Grindstone Ministries, Healthcare Ready, and Citizens Assisting Citizens. Disaster Coffee sources top quality beans that are roasted to order. You get coffee at its very best, but you also make a difference with every purchase. Disaster Coffee offers every customer the ability to join the national disaster relief effort. Get yours at disastercoffee.com.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Patriot Power Hour, episode 170, time for the news blitz. Let's have at it. Unvaxxed Massachusetts man denied heart transplant. Football fans charged with using forged COVID vaccine cards. Swedish government not recommending COVID vaccines for children aged 5 to 12. Nearly 40% of Illinois COVID deaths in the last month are vax breakthroughs. Breakthrough cases. 40% of Illinois COVID deaths are these, quote, breakthroughs. Severe floods and landslides leave at least 34 dead in Madagascar. Arizona company freezing heads to be resurrected later for $80,000. When you die, freeze your head. It'll be resurrected. Only 80 grand. Brain implant startup gears up for human trials. Hundreds of thousands of fish die from thermal shock as cold sweeps through Greece and the Mediterranean area. And volcanic activity report. Nothing as big as what we saw a couple weeks ago, certainly. But still some activity you can check out. Moving to economics. Drop Bitcoin as legal tender. The International Mafia, Monetary Fund, urges El Salvador. The President of the United States threatens crypto rules as a matter of national security. Demand for private security soars in Los Angeles as crime's getting out of control. Meanwhile, the Honorable Jerome Powell, as we talked a lot about in the first segment, says that some people are prone to suffer more from inflation than others. S&P 500 tumbles to the worst ever New Year's start. It was a tough January for them, but the markets have stabilized this week so far. There were more than 5.4 million first time firearms buyers in 2021. 5.4 million first time firearm buyers. One of my good friends bought his first firearm last year. Good to see that. Second Amendment. Volatility index. Right now it's at about 22. We saw it up to 30. Again, this is the fear gauge. The higher it is, the more concerned Wall Street is, the more liquidity issues there are, etc. So 20, not in the red zone, but it was up at 30, which is near the red zone, the critical area. But again, it's kind of calmed down. We'll track this, of course, each and every week on Patriot Power Hour. Moving on. Thousands of American troops on standby for deployment to Eastern Europe in a standoff with Russia. The 82nd and 101st Airborne on alert. NATO allies consider moving 45,000 troops near the Russian border. F-15Es deploying to Estonia. 5,000 strong American force carrying out training in Poland. There's 100,000 Russian troops on the Ukrainian border, with 20,000 backing up breakaway provinces. Got some pictures of columns of armor and armored vehicles. To be honest, the Ukrainian forces, I'm sure they're maybe not as well equipped as the Russian, but they got a lot of armored vehicles themselves, so it would not be a total steamrolling. It would be a mass, bloodbath on both sides for sure, but Ukrainians plus with NATO backing them versus Russia, it could get hot real quick. That is a lot of firepower real close to each other. President warns Russians could sack the Ukrainian capital. And 27 Russian diplomats expelled from the U.S. Moving on. F-35, the U.S. Navy's newest, costliest. We're seeing two issues here. First off, the U.S. Navy's newest and costliest carrier sows doubt that it can defend itself. I wrote an article about this 5 or 6 years ago, the Gerald Ford class carrier, super expensive, $13+ billion. And there's reports just showing how it's having so many issues. And going hand in hand, but still separately, the F-35, which has been plagued with massive problems, with the most expensive, almost a $1 trillion project. Well, one of them crashed into the South China Sea. There's hundreds of millions into the toilet. And, of course, those work on those carriers having issues. So our Navy, it seems as their readiness is not at the greatest right now. Meanwhile, China's PLA holds a large-scale exercise near Taiwan. Chinese state-affiliated media states with regard to Ukraine that Russia won't be alone and China will offer support. Even if that's only material, that's a lot of support they could put behind them. Computer chip shortage could incite conflict with China. That's definitely a weak link. Moving on, a couple with articles related to January 6th. And, well, actually starting with the Michigan governor kidnapping plot, which wasn't January 6th, but still some shenanigans going on there. Really looks like entrapment. So there's an article there. But for January 6th, 10 Oath Keepers plead not guilty to sedition charges. So we cover that stuff as well. Finally, Liberty column, San Jose to fine and force liability insurance on keepers of arms. Palm Beach County clerk seeks to punish paper for pursuing Epstein records. And that does it, seems, Future Dan. That was a pretty intense news blitz. What caught your attention?
Yeah, it's ticking up right now compared to a few weeks ago, that's for sure.
Yeah.
We said that 4 weeks ago, though. We're on kind of every 2 weeks, the news gets a little bit more serious and severe. And then kind of mitigates for a couple weeks until we get something else. But it's consistently different things, except for the financial situation. Hmm. Yeah, that does stay the same. It's interesting to me how you kind of focus, whether you realize it or not, on the cost of the U.S. Navy carriers that can't defend themselves. That's their issue. It's not mechanical. Like, they don't steam around to do what they're designed to do properly. That's not the case. That's not what the article's about. The article is about, as a modern weapon system, it can't defend against the missile attacks anymore, right? And the F-35, interesting that you're focused on the cost. I don't know what the copy on a F-35 is, but to the Navy, it's the cost of doing business. Surely any warplane that you field, you expect some to, occasionally crash. It's the fact that they did it in the South China Sea with Chinese subs down there, and now it's a race to find it because of the technology. Right.
I was actually thinking about that the other day when I first saw this come through. I thought, wow, I wonder if they're like putting some robotic sub down there to detonate and destroy it, or like, that's a very big situation. But
I don't think any part of that they want to let anybody else get.
No, so that had, I mean, they probably just got to be destroyed by now, I would think. But
why? It's probably, South China Sea's not that deep. It could be just sitting down there.
Now, well,
could sit down there for 1,000 years.
Before China comes in and gets some of the tech off of it. Not like they
probably have it. No. They got to recover it. They got to go get it.
How deep is the waters? I don't know. I assumed it was like, 10,000 feet or something.
Well, no, it's the South China Sea. It's
not the Marianas Trench.
No, they got to go get that. And I don't have an update for that. I'm sure that the Navy's pretty tight-lipped about it. But the pilot bailed out and it sank. In basically enemy waters, right? South China Sea is where...
Like the Gulf of Mexico.
Not the Gulf of Mexico, no.
That'd be the equivalent if one of China's fighters sunk, 50 miles off of Louisiana.
And we lost an advanced, unmanned vehicle over Iran a number of years ago, flying it in Afghanistan, and lost control of it, got hacked, whatever, got jammed enough so that it went off course, and they got a hold of it. And it does look like that gave all of those countries the opportunity to reverse engineer what we have. losing an F-35, it's not a good thing this week.
No. And yes, you know, you got to build in some crashes and some issues, of course, but these things seem to be happening a lot more often. All right, folks, we'll come back. We got a whole half hour to get into some really interesting topics and some more news. We'll be right back on the Patriot Power Hour.
The Prepper Broadcasting Network.
We're back. Patriot Power Hour. It's the second half of the February 1st, 2022 episode 170. I can't believe it's already February. Pretty insane. We have a really interesting discussion. You know, we talked a lot about news in the first half. Maybe we'll hit on a couple articles towards the end, but the great chunk of the rest of the show, well, I think all credit goes to you, Future Dan, so why don't you explain it?
Oh, it's all credit to you, Ben.
You came up with it, didn't you?
Yeah, but not with where we're going to take it. Okay. That's your idea.
Yeah, well, teamwork.
We'll start there. We're going to talk about Bill of Rights, but we're going to do it a different way. What is an S-class? Explain that one to me.
Okay.
What's the idea of an S-class or a chart or an S-class alignment chart?
Right. So this gets pretty nerdy, but one of the first times I saw this particular chart, or almost a meme, more of an infographic, I guess, is related to video games.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, here's the best weapons to use in a video game, or here's the best teams to use on Madden football, or something like that. So, think of it this way. You go A, B, C, D, or F. Simply put, but S-class is the highest of the high.
It's the new thing.
It's the big, yes. I think it has a little bit of a European undertone, so maybe you probably don't like it because of that. But I think they have like S-class leagues and Formula One driving or something like that.
Right, right.
It has to do with driving, I know. I first learned of this when I was like 10 years old playing Gran Turismo. And it was like, you get the S-class license or the A-class license, something like
Isn't
that.
Isn't that like one of the models of a Mercedes?
Well, there's an S-class, but it could be because of that. I don't know.
Well, it euphemistically, it means like the best.
Better than A. It's S.
Yes. Okay. So we got the bizarre idea to take a shot at the 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution and categorize them. Tonight, let's just do S-class and then ABC. How's that?
Okay. All right, because so. I think we can agree that everything written in the Bill of Rights is at least of C-class, if not more importance, I don't think we have any D or F class like failures in the Bill of Rights necessarily. Maybe there are. Maybe we're under, you know, overestimating.
No, we're gonna take them all as, you know, obviously had their,
at least C class.
They had their purpose, but there are C class ones, ones that are have proven to be less effective.
Okay.
In protecting anybody's liberty.
Yeah.
And you know, there's 10 amendments, but if you break down the amendments, by our count tonight, there's about 33 clauses.
Okay.
And some of these are simplified, greatly simplified. We're not gonna try to sound like the Harvard Law Review tonight. And we're going to talk as citizens about this, not lawyers. But we're going to take these clauses of the amendments of the, you know, the 10 amendments and classify them. And it all has to be relative to what, right? Relative, like what caused these amendments to our Constitution? What caused the U.S. Constitution? What caused the revolution that resulted in the U.S. Constitution? Well, it was British tyranny, right? It's British tyranny that these things are aimed at making sure it never reoccurred here.
Right.
And we're going to list them, but I think C-class ones are the ones that have been well trampled by now in the 20th century, especially after the New Deal. Some of these are relatively meaningless in contemporary environment. And some of these are sacrosanct. We know which ones those are. The S classes. And I think the way we're going to do this tonight, what I suggest, maybe you have another point of view to this, is as these types of freedoms wither, where does any population get closer and closer to revolting against that tyranny?
Okay.
So S classes, that's revolt. That there will be violence across the nation with governments, state, local, federal, trying to impose that level of tyranny. And which of these are lower classes, which we have already seen, you know, I use the word trampled, but abused, misinterpreted, judicial review has nullified them over the centuries.
Okay.
And it kind of, you end up kind of getting a scale towards, you know, the ideal of 1789 in the Bill of Rights to where we are in 2022.
I love it. We're going to go from top to bottom and talk about which, are we going to grade each clause or?
You know, it'd be interesting.
We should have made the infographic. Well, maybe we'll make one post-show. Should have
made it first so we know what we're talking about?
No, we're kind of real-time grading them, which is the best conversation. That's why we have it for the show. But it would be cool to kind of like have that graphic to share thereafter. As
there might be a physical artifact resulting from this show if we get motivated to make this.
That'd be pretty awesome. Actually.
But I think we ought to go
cool
from
t-shirt, actually.
From the 10th Amendment to the 1st Amendment.
Okay, I like
that. And see how well that aligns with the C class to the S class, the top class.
Okay.
And I've already looked at this. It's not perfect alignment. So there was no particular order in the drafting of the Bill of Rights, in my opinion. It's sort of a horse blanket.
We talked a little bit about this last week, and then we prepared separately and then came together on the topic. But I would say the First and Second Amendment were put there on purpose because they're S-class and super important. But like you said, from there on, it's not necessarily the Fourth Amendment is more important than the Sixth, more important than the Eighth, more important than the Tenth.
I can make some arguments.
A little bit of a trend, but not
that,
like
that parts
totally
of the First Amendment aren't S class. So let's end there, but let's start at the other end of it.
Deal. All right. So 10th Amendment. The clause, powers constitutionally reserved to the people are federalized.
That's not the clause.
Well, no, this is our
that's the antithesis of the clause. That's what the tyranny looks like.
I get where you're coming from.
Yeah, these are future danger indicators.
Yeah.
These aren't what's supposed to be. This is bad news as it happens, right? So powers constitutionally reserved to the people are federalized. 10th Amendment. That's happened. That was
right.
A lot of that happened under Roosevelt in the 30s.
Okay. This totally makes sense.
Much more of it happened under Johnson in the 60s. Some of it was undone by Reagan in the 80s. And then this century's been a shit show.
Like in every way possible. Of course, my mind goes directly to the finance, where all the power goes to the Federal Reserve and the federal treasury, but the vaccines and almost every war machine is growing as federal, more federal power, the crisis at the border. So, yeah, practically everything.
Sort of an innocently crafted amendment that has had case law, that has left powers to the people, but rarely, very, very rarely, pretty much became conventional wisdom in the early 20th century that anything Congress passed automatically, you know, means that they had the power to pass it. So this is a C-class clause. It's the entire amendment. The 10th Amendment is just one. Some of these amendments splinter into other, you know, separate clauses.
Mm-hmm. And I would almost go so far to say that the state rights have practically been all been folded into the federal, but now the federal are being put into the supranational, whether it's UN or other world organizations. It's been beyond federalized, so it's definitely been stamped upon. Go on, let's go on to number 9.
Yeah. Unenumerated rights are denied or disparaged. The 9th Amendment was supposed to, you know, prevent that. Unenumerated rights have been created, Roe v. Wade, and several others in this century that aren't, properly speaking, rights in any sense. Like, you know, rights reserved to people withheld from government is not what rights mean to most leftists these days. So the 9th Amendment is, to me, C-class. And in fact, probably the weakest of the C-class.
Yeah, practically destroyed outright.
Very little case law in the history of our country has seen the 9th Amendment invoked by a court to, you know, prevent any power from centralizing.
Very interesting. Very interesting. All right. Now we have a few of these for the 8th Amendment. We'll start here. Unprecedentedly cruel or unusual punishment is inflicted.
Yeah, we don't really see that right now. We're not, you know, in the truest sense, like, you know, the types of executions. It's been going the other way.
Now I think we have seen, though, excessive bail, excessive fines. I think we've seen that with some more political prisoners, in my opinion, in the last few years.
Yeah, and January 6th, right, has prisoners that it's questionable whether 8th Amendment cases will proceed against the authorities in the National Capital Region for what's happening to them. But notice in the 8th Amendment, there's life, liberty, and property, right? Fines, bail, and what they meant for 8th Amendment is torture and capital punishment. But if a government in this continent started to inflict cruel or unusual, you know, punishment for crimes, firing squads, you know, on a mass scale, anything brutal, that's S-class. That's revolution. That's violent opposition from patriots. If we saw a cruel and unusual punishment widespread. But the excessive bail and the excessive fines, they are growing high. So I'm not sure what class.
Yeah. Well, I think you split it perfectly, because I would definitely put S class for the unusual punishment. The other ones I'd put A class, maybe a B class for
fines.
For fines, A class for bail, because you're being deprived kind of SEC, your freedom.
SEC fines without any judicial review, necessarily. They attempt to do it with no judicial review. Of course, you can sue the SEC to get fines, you know, administered by the court, or at least adjudicated by the court. But SEC fines in Wall Street, it's almost, you know, conventional wisdom in Wall Street that you would take the fines because they are the fines, right? And at what point do they become excessive where mainstream Wall Street fears the SEC?
Well, just in my own experience in the insurance world, oftentimes it's better to just settle and or just pay the fines than pay a bunch of lawyers to try to fight it, and you're not going to win anyway.
Yeah, well,
it's definitely grown in the last 50 years.
To be unprecedentedly excessive is, you know, there's judgment there,
I bet,
right?
Some of the fines now the founding fathers would think was excessive.
They certainly would. But it's been a weak pair of clauses of the 8th Amendment,
okay.
And they haven't stood the test of time. I call them B class at best.
Okay. I think it makes sense. The fines are a B. A bail, though, is an A. Now, if there's mass arrests and this, it could be an S, potentially.
Yeah, you're right.
Kind of, but you know, if it's a small group, it's easier to pigeonhole them or, you know, strong arm them.
Yeah, if you just collected people in camps and said that the, you know, their bail was knowingly more than they could right. ever pay, that'd be like kind of what Roosevelt did to the Japanese in World War II.
Not right. Like, Mr. Ben Cochran, breaker of banksters, we know you have some bitcoins, 2 bitcoin to get out of camp and a vaccine. You got to take the vaccines retro as well.
So right. That was the 8th. Let's move down to the 7th.
All right. Federal civil suit judges overrule jury findings of fact.
That's pretty arcane, isn't it? Yeah, read the next one.
I think that's pretty relevant, though. I don't know. Federal civil suits tried without a jury.
Yeah, both of those things are prohibited. Those are both of those things. You know, having, you know, lawsuits at the federal court level that could impoverish your political enemies is part of this. That you had to have grand juries, you know, to bring civil suits, you know, start taking. This is not about your liberty or your life, you know, and defending that in a criminal court. This is your property in a civil court. Important okay. to the founders, right. relatively meaningless by the 21st century. Not violated by any authorities because they didn't have to. They found, you know, Congress wrote laws that could accomplish these ends without directly doing either of these things. I put the 7th Amendment as also, you know, C-class.
Yeah, I don't know if I can argue with that. I think the point that you pointed out that it's civil, not criminal, definitely brings it down a notch. So I'm fine with that. And it is a little arcane, I suppose, but
the 7th Amendment's the most arcane of the Bill of Rights.
I guess so. To sum up the meaning of the 7th Amendment, was it just jury of your peers or of citizens is supposed to be?
If you want to take my property, superior? If you want to take my property, a state court's going to do it, and you know, if you're going to try to do it with federal statute, there's got, you know, we got to have a jury.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. I wonder if, like, Mafia and Rico and all that changed that. 6th. Wow. There's a lot for the 6th Amendment. Do you want to explain why, or should we just knock through them all real quick?
Oh, just go read it. It's comma after comma.
Wow.
With prohibition after prohibition. So ours are, you know, like we started off in this segment talking about, are the inverse of the right. This is what happens when the tyranny ignores the right. So.
Right.
It all comes back, you know, the 6th Amendment is all about when you're accused of a crime. The accused. You are the accused, Ben. So here's the things that are disallowed by the U.S. Constitution. You cannot be denied assistance of counsel. You cannot be prevented from putting on a defense at your trial. You cannot be made to prolong, you know, to suffer prolonged pretrial detention. That's, you know, a speedy trial clause. You cannot suffer trial by alien jury, you know, meaning people who aren't from where you're from. Trial by predisposed jury, you know, going and finding juries that you know will be predisposed to convict you and putting them in place against you. Trial in arbitrary districts. You're accused of this here, but we're going to take you over there because we can get a jury that might be just fine ignoring facts and convicting you, right? Trial in secret, you know, you have a right to a public trial in the United States of America. Trial unconfronted. People making claims against you that, and they don't have to be in court to say it to the jury. You know, suffering trial unconfronted is unconstitutional in our country, right? Those are the pieces of the 6th Amendment. I'm looking at them. I don't think they're all the same class.
No, I don't think so either, but a lot of them are pretty serious. I'd also like to say this is like the best way to review and teach the Bill of Rights, I think. I wish they like taught it this way in high school because it feels like you can learn it a lot better. Like, okay, what if they do to us is the bad thing? What's the bad thing? Well, denying assistance of counsel. Let's say that's a B or A class, I think. You don't get counsel.
That's a B class, yeah.
Yeah, let's say B. No defense at a trial. That's like an A or possible S class.
Yeah, I don't think it's S. If that happened, it would resemble, you know, things that the Soviet people suffered under their regime.
Yeah,
right? But really, I'm not sure. If it happened widespread, then that's a different matter. But if it was happening commonly in this country, I still don't think it's, you know, time for Lexington Green.
Right. But it's not, yeah, it's still very serious for sure. Prolonged pretrial detention. That's a B class.
B or A, yeah.
I think so. Unless it's like 5 years and that's A or more. Trial by alien. All right, there's a couple that kind of roll together that are really pop out as I haven't considered them, but with all the illegal immigration coming in as well as the gerrymandering and just messing with all the different districts and stuff, the trial by alien jury, trial in arbitrary district, trial by predisposed jury.
Yeah, none of that applies to if you came the country illegally and say, well, I should get a jury from Mexico because I'm from there, right? This is about taking an American in the place where they live and taking them outside of where they live to let an alien jury, like not your county, not your state,
right,
judge you.
But, you know, people that, I mean, you know, you got a good point there. But I'm just,
if that happened widely, it would be a major breakdown in things, but I don't think it's a, I think it's a, you know, B class.
Right.
Those three. But trial unconfronted is an A class.
Okay.
And I think trial in secret is getting towards S class. Secret trials, people going away and not having it be known, that's Pinochet stuff.
Yeah, all these can kind of combine into trial in secret, you know, or if there's trial in secret, then many of these others would be going on at the same time by fact.
Right. Trial by secret would be, I think, is the, you know, the most sacrosanct part of the Sixth Amendment. We got to hustle here if we're going to get the last five done.
All right. Let's knock it out then. Ready? Fifth, accused are compelled to self-incriminate. The accused are twice put in jeopardy for the same offense. Life, liberty, or property deprived without due process. Private property taken for public use without just compensation. Unindicted defendants are tried for federal felony.
Let's leave that last one alone. It's a little arcade. You know, okay. And I, my opinion is it's a C class. But of the rest of those that you just mentioned from the Fifth Amendment, private property taken for public use without just compensation was clearly violated by Souter's decision in the Supreme Court for, you know, eminent domain rulings in Connecticut. That's a C class. Our country doesn't respect it. In fact, Trump was oblivious to this constitutional problem. As a developer, he benefited from this. Sure. You know, it's public use, not private developers under public authority colluding with
private
developers. Right? So that's a
like
C
that.
Class. Okay. But the rest of these are A class, right? Warrants issuing without probable cause. Well, you know, what's essentially what the NSA does with everything it records and occasionally just hands it over to secret courts. That you know, Snowden, right? A lot of this is Snowden stuff. It's been, you know, shown to, you know, effectively not exist. Parallel construction, you spoke about it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Right. So Fifth Amendment can't be S class because it's all happening right now, but it's A class stuff. It's towards the revolution that, you know, could bring about change and yeah, I mean, that's my opinion on the Fifth Amendment.
Definitely makes sense to me. Moving on to the fourth. Persons, houses, papers, and effects are searched or seized without warrant.
That's Gestapo-like widespread house searches.
That's A to S class, somewhere in between. If they're just, like, kind of searching one thing, but if they're, like, raping everybody, like the Nazis, then, you know, that's S class. I don't know. Pretty much S class, though, if they're doing that. Warrants, issue, absent. Place, person, and things to be searched.
That's happened a lot with script. That's happened a lot already with online searches.
Yep.
Just these wide, open-ended blank checks to search massive online accounts. That clause of the Fourth Amendment is, you know, it's B class. We're suffering it now.
I'd say that's about a B. That makes sense. Warrants issued by false oath.
Yeah, that's kind of novel, right? That the authorities would have to take an oath and you know, obey it in order to bring forward a request for a warrant. But of course, that's what happened in the FISA court. Don't forget who Peter Strzok is. He's a member of the neo-Gestapo known as the FBI. or at the upper levels of the DOJ who told the FBI to do this. All right. So, you know, supposed to have been, you know, high up on the list. We're in the Fourth Amendment now, but really, it's proven to be about a B class, I think.
Okay.
Because people are putting up with it.
Yep. True. This one is really insidious, where it could start as like a B class, but if people put up with it, the pressure increases and it turns, it gets escalated before you know.
Yeah. And just searching.
Banging down your door at 3 a.m.
Searching without probable cause. Yeah. Right. It's pretty common where police can get away with it. They can just drop charges at state and local level. Yeah. They can search all they want and just. Now they can't bring charges, right? There's no like civil claim against people for searching you,
right,
and just violating the principle that you couldn't search, right?
I feel like the drug war really got a foothold because of the drug war, but then the war on terror really allowed them to bring a new level of breaking this down.
Yeah.
So anywhere between a B class and possible S class, if they're kicking down your doors. Moving on real quick, Third Amendment. There's only one. Agents of the state are quartered on private property. That's an A class, I think. I mean, it's pretty bad. I don't think you can just
assassinate
them or something.
They don't need to do that anymore, right?
Yeah.
That was about Boston when the British troops went in, you know, sat in the homes of potential conspiracies to incite rebellion in the Massachusetts colony. So they put the troops in there, and you know, those small colonial houses, hard to, you know, plot with the soldiers living with you, right? And they're eating what you have, and they're, you know, just basically, right, you're running a hotel for them,
right?
It's a really, really 17th century mechanism to impose surveillance.
It works really well,
intimidation. Yeah, it would be an S class if they physically did it, but it's almost been, the Third Amendment has almost been like a C class in its effectiveness, because it anticipated something out of the War of Independence that never really was attempted again by a government, and I don't think necessarily needs to happen. You have devices on the desk in front of you that are spying on you anyways.
I was literally going to say, what about Alexa or any of these other things? They're agents of the state, Microsoft and Amazon and Facebook.
Spreaker?
No, Spreaker. We like Spreaker.
As if it doesn't have a back door handed
over. Well, I'll go straight to Apple, who, of course, would look at this and scan. Why don't you guys just share the transcript with us? That would be helpful, Apple or any other agency out there. All right. To keep and bear arms is infringed.
Yeah, well, that's where rubber hits the road, right? How much infringement? How many searches? How many gun confiscations? How many ATF and combined federal task forces before they met armed opposition, right? And now it's getting real,
yeah,
right?
There's a hell of a lot of gun owners this time last year, but apparently there were more than 5 million new gun buyers in 2021, so I don't think they're going to be taking it from everybody until at least they have the robot armies or something.
But conceptually, it is the predominant S class.
Yep.
When that's happening, there will be people that are opposed,
coming to physically take them from you. They're not just going to be sending you a memo.
And there will be people that will revolt that in response to it.
Correct.
If it's widespread and. You know, their only chance of doing that sort of thing is the long game, right? Just generate generation after generation of less gun ownership and make it, you know, just a burden like San Jose, imposing liability insurance. That law clearly can't last in court.
Or the robot armies, man. I'm telling you, 30, 40 years from now, they're going to have Terminators, and your 5.56 is not going to be able to take those down. But until then, I think they can't do much about it.
So that's sort of the top, but we still have to deal with the First Amendment. And I don't think all the clauses of the First Amendment are quite S-class.
And we do got to get out of here. We got like a minute left. Do you want to try to ram it through, or you want to finish
I'll read them and you call the class.
Go.
Free exercise of religion is prohibited.
Between an A and an S?
Free press is abridged.
It's got to be between an A and an S, too, really. I'd say A, though.
Free speech is abridged.
I'll say as an A.
Yeah, I think when it's widespread on both of those are S-class.
If they're both at the same time, then yes.
Yeah, we're suppressed by corporate media that is fascist, like in a fascist system, cooperating with the, establishment right now.
I feel like this is already happening a lot.
But we're speaking tonight. True. People can hear this if they know how to find Patriot Power Hour. If it goes widespread where we
are actually shut out, no matter what we try.
We're in a secret trial, and you don't know where it is, and you haven't heard from us because we've been prosecuted for our speech. That's S-class.
Okay, I feel you.
Peaceable assembly is a bridge.
That's somewhere in the A to S-class as well.
That's S-class. That's S-class because people still try to form big crowds, and now that's what
you
get.
A lot of these will go at once. There really is no A-class because if you have one of these, you're going to have three, four, all of them at once, which would be S.
Petitioning for redress of grievances is abridged. C-class. It's meaningless now.
Okay.
You can petition all you want publicly. It used to be like the King of England would make it like so you feared to even petition the government, right? You know, well, if they'll take away our speech. And then finally, state quasi-religion is established. I say quasi-religion because it may not be a conventional historical religion, but global warming to me is a quasi-religion. Yeah. And I think it's well established. I think that's been a C-class. Although if some new orthodox belief system were imposed on us, kind of like in Beijing since the 1950s, it'd be an S-class.
Quasi-religion. Hey, man. It's just celebrity worship by itself and buying things from Amazon. All right, it was an awesome show. We got to get out of the way. Next Generation is coming right up. Future Dan, great show. We'll be live next Tuesday, the 8th of February. See you guys later.